Tom Seeger, thanks for coming on the podcast.
No, thanks for having us.
We've only got another hour to go. We could record another one. Pretend to be someone. Hey, you know what? We'll do one as a suburban footballer. Stay tuned. We're not going to. Check him out on Facebook, guys.
Cheers. We'll see you later. Cheers, mate.
All right, yeah. We'll be in touch. Go start the car. Hang on. Yeah. Oh. It's Dave O'Neill here on the debrief, and I'm with... he's a podcasting legend, ladies and gentlemen. He's the other half of the Dum Dum Club, Tommy Daslow.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave.
Hey, I feel like saying, hey, poof to you, but this feels weird. That's my catchphrase on the Dum Dum for anyone.
This setup that you have, it kind of looks, to anyone walking past your car, it looks like you've got one of those, what do they call, the interlock devices? Because you've got this big...
Oh, yes.
You've got this big lit up thing, and there was like a lot of... We had to sit in your car for about 10 minutes while you got it set
like
up.
Like a bad drug dealer was.
Yeah, it kind of looked like you were just blind and you were trying to like trick the machine into letting you drive.
My brother's brother-in-law puts them into cars. I'm going to ask him, can you just get someone to blow in it for you? Or
yeah, surely you have to go pretty quickly. Like... There must be, like, there's no way it would be an effective system if it was that easy to get around.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's a weight thing on the seat or something, is it?
Yeah,
or
it must be. Or it must be.
We need more information about
you. You must have to do it and then, like, start the car immediately.
Oh, man, it's such a big industry.
Yeah.
He spends a lot of time. Yeah, he spends a lot of time resetting them, restoring them, putting them in. Oh, yeah, it's a big deal. Big deal in the suburbs, mate.
I got breathalyzed today. It's a Tuesday at midday.
I don't even know you drove.
Just near me. Yeah, I drive. Yeah. I swear I've driven you somewhere.
I think you might have.
I reckon I've given you a lift to a gig somewhere
might have. What, you got breathalyzed at midday?
I got breathalyzed at midday on a Tuesday near my house. Now that's like, I don't know, is that worth it for them?
Yeah, they pinned you as an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Daslow's house.
But they had the whole setup. So it's like if
was
you find
it a booze
someone
bus or?
No, you know the thing where it's just like three cops.
Yeah, I've had that.
It's like if whoever you find that's that blind on a midday Tuesday, it's like they are so far gone that the loss of license is not going to change their life. That's not going to be the wake-up call.
They'll probably just drive without a license. That's what they do.
Yeah, totally.
Drive without a license.
By the way, you were like, I'll give you a lift and we can do the podcast. You know that I don't live far from the gig at all, right? This is going to be like the shortest episode podcast of your show you've ever done.
No, I reckon Denise Scott was, what was that, Fairfield to Thornbury? That was really short. And Randy, like Heath, is like, I'm staying around the corner. So we had to drive around in circles. Then we had to pretend, I don't know.
We're like three quarters of the way to my house already.
We just did Catfish, which is a gig you run.
Yeah.
In Fitzroy and Gertrude Street. It's hipster central, man.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you live in Fitzroy.
I do. I'm deep in the heart of it.
Are you actually Fitzroy or North Fitzroy?
I'm North Fitzroy.
Oh, yeah, North Fitzroy.
Is that more hipster or less hipster? I feel like it's more hipster.
I think
because
these days.
Yeah.
Fitzroy's more your bars and stuff. And and it's too... I mean...
No one can afford to live in Fitzroy anymore.
No one can afford to live in North Fitzroy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Range Rovers and lawyers and stuff, aren't there? I just know from the primary school because... My kids go to school, not to that one, but a near primary school, and there's a lot of...
I mean, we, like, the share house I'm in, it's not cheap. There's three of us in there. It's not cheap by any stretch.
But you're on
and
a main road.
Still, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
Like, our toilet... You've been to my house, haven't
you? Yeah.
The toilet in my bathroom is just, like, behind a curtain. Like, there's no door to the actual toilet.
That's reassuring, isn't it?
It's great when, like... people come around to visit.
Your share house, or as I call it, the Dum Dum Studio.
It is. It's kind of the unofficial Dum Dum Studio. Well, this is the thing. We either do it at my house or at Carl Chandler's house, who's the other host of the show.
I've done a show at both your houses.
And he's just gotten a cat now, and I'm allergic to cats. So he tried, today, we're going to have to record at my house because I'm tired. And I lasted like half a day and I went, we can't ever do this again.
Because you were tearing.
My eyes get all itchy and watery. And,
God. How did you meet Chandler? How did the Dum Dum Club come to be? Who was the driving force?
It was kind of both of us. We just met working on a now defunct community television show called Studio A.
Oh, yeah, I remember Studio A.
And we just got on well and it was just like us realising that we had more fun at gigs dicking around backstage than actually on stage.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, this was like 6 years ago. So it was still... It was a new enough thing. And I was like... I had I was working at a data entry job where I just could listen to, like, I could just have headphones in all day. And so I discovered podcasts through that, because I was like, if I don't have enough stuff to listen to, I'm going to kill myself. So, yeah, I think it was just like a weird thing where we were just talking one day, and I was like, oh, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. And he was like, me too. And so we went, well, why don't we just do it together? That's like all it was.
Yeah, right. And but you know what? You both got good music taste. You both got slightly alternative.
Yeah.
Similar kind of music taste.
Yeah.
You?
But on paper, well, yeah, but like on paper, there's no reason why the two of us should be friends.
But it works on the radio, on the podcasting world.
Well, I guess yeah, that's what I mean. Commercial radio is obsessed with that, aren't they? Like with conflict.
It's yeah,
like,
they love it. But sometimes they go too far.
They do it too much, and it's like, make these people sit in a room.
And they hate each other.
5 days a week and be getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and they actually
and
hate
they already
each
dislike,
other.
They're already opposed to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a solicitor from Toorak. She's a single mum from Port Meadows. We're going to put them in a studio together. Guess what? They hate each other.
But you'd be lucky, right? You don't seem like, you've done a lot of like radio on Breakfast Radio. You've never really been with anyone that you didn't like.
Husey,
you hate Husey. What a scoop. That'll get back to him too. You'll hear about that.
No. I've got on well with everyone I've worked with. Even, you know, I worked with people I didn't know, like Dicko.
Yeah.
You know, Dicko was good.
Yeah.
Good fun.
So you've been lucky. You haven't been like stitched up by like, management trying to like fuck you over.
Oh, I haven't worked with anyone who's really crazy. Yeah. There's a lot of crazy.
Who's the person who like no amount of money you would do it?
Carl Chandler.
Dave and Carl in the morning.
Nah, there's a few I wouldn't do. Because you know what? Who wants to get... I got up early for so many years, 11 years.
Yeah.
And it was generally working with people that you like. And occasionally, like, they put me with Chrissy, Swan and Dicko. I didn't know them, but they were really good. They're really nice people.
Yeah.
And, they were to say, you've got to do a show with this person, I just go, I can't be bothered getting up early in the morning.
It's not worth it.
Oh, my God, we're home.
It's not worth you saying, this is it. Did you maps my house? I'm surprised I didn't have to direct you. You just knew where I live.
No, I've been to your house. We're going to have to drive around.
You've driven past it. I'll direct you a good way to go around the block.
I've been to your house several times.
Yeah, you have.
Who can be bothered getting up early to just work with someone you don't like? It's no good. You've got to like them because it's like being in a submarine. It's so enclosed and weird and hours.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been a commercial radio stunt where it's like, let's put the team in a submarine.
Yeah, you're right.
Live from a submarine every morning.
Because they've done a house. They've put people into a house together and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, submarine reality TV. That's the next frontier, I reckon.
Because I was reminiscing on stage tonight when I first met you.
That was a great part of the gig where I got up at the very start and was on stage for like a minute to bring you on, and then you got up. The first thing you did was get the crowd to give me a round of applause.
Yes.
And then you just roasted me for like 6 minutes, and weirdly enough, it went well. Even though
I know it did go well.
No one there has any context of who I like. I just look like a janitor who's just got up to kick the gig off.
Yeah.
And you're obsessed with the fact that I used to come and watch your outside broadcast when I was in school.
For Nova, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for Nova.
Yeah. Because
you used to
do the lounge.
Yeah, you would do it at the lounge in the city. And because, my dad would drive me to school in the morning.
Yeah.
And we would both listen to the show. So anytime we heard that you were doing an outside broadcast, Dad would go, oh, let's just go to that and I don't care. You can just go to school a bit late.
Yeah. Like, we used to do it in the lounge in Melbourne at Swansea Street. And you'd always come to the comedy festival broadcast.
Yes.
So because we'd have all these comedians on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I remember, we had a lot of the big names on, you know, like back in the day. And this was the early 2000s, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
You were seeing Akmal do stand-up?
Yeah, Akmal was there.
Yeah.
And you stood out because you were the only guy in a school uniform. Sure, you were 28 at the time. And your dad, I remember meeting you. I remember meeting your dad.
You would think that there would be more school kids because
you'd
that's
reckon.
Just how I became a fan of you and Husey and stuff was you listen to the radio every morning on the way to school.
Well, it's something I do with my son now, who's 14, and we flick around a bit.
Oh, who does he like?
He loves Sam Pang.
Oh, okay, great.
And he loves Tony Martin.
Yep.
Because Tony Martin does Nova.
Fills in quite a lot.
Yeah, because my son's a bit of a nerd. He loves
great.
Any references. And he often comes home at night and he tells the other kids the stories that Tony tells.
Oh, great. And is he annoyed by you trying to sound cool to him by telling him that you
know
these people? Yeah.
No, he says to, he goes to me one day, Dad, no one at school remembers you from Nova. I go, well, ask the teachers. Try the teacher and the janitor, mate.
Yeah.
Or ask their mum and dad. I was on Nova, mate. But you don't have to rub it in. But yeah, and he loves Sam Pang. They do a segment called Make Sam Laugh, where kids ring up and tell him jokes, and he just roasts them.
Oh, great.
And so he loves that. He thinks it's hilarious. And he always wants me to ring up. I'm like, nah, I'm not ringing up.
I do love that. I love that Tony is in there.
He's
so
in there on
often.
Fridays. Yeah, he's in there
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, he's in there heaps.
Oh, man, he's a talent.
He just doesn't seem... Oh, he's amazing. Like, but he just doesn't seem like a guy that Nova would jump at. Does that
no,
make
I know,
sense?
Because he's mid-50s.
Yeah.
And his references are hilarious.
His references are all like... Yeah.
Oh, they're older
BBC
than my references.
BBC sitcoms from the you know, 1960s.
But no, I mean, Chrissy Swan's got an incredible... Because she had older sisters.
Yeah, right.
She's like in her 40s, but she's got incredible knowledge of TV and music from the 70s and 80s.
Right.
Like, you could say any... Tony says any show, like, you know, Mind Your Language. Right?
Yes.
Which is a sitcom from the 70s. Yeah, she knows all the characters and... So, yeah, it's interesting. But, yeah, he... You know what's kind of sad? You've got Mick Molloy on one station and Tony on another. And they were one of the greatest radio duos ever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you know.
I was telling someone about their show.
It was like Daslow and Chandler of the 90s. It was just like you guys.
Oh man, our big breakup's coming. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that that's the way the Dum Dum Club is going to end. It won't be a civil parting of ways. It'll be a full.
Oh, yeah,
it'll be a full blown.
F you.
Yeah.
F you.
Never speaking again. Yeah.
But that's funny because you were
divide up the friends.
Yeah. I don't know who I'm going to go with, because I'm friends with both of you. That's interesting, because so you got into comedy because you were a fan of comedy. You obviously had a great... Not unsimilar to... You know who was like John Safran?
Right.
He used to go to all the D-Gen OBs and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't. Like, I was a fan of comedy. I wasn't really a fan of stand-up. Like, I didn't really know much about... You know,
no,
like...
Well, you don't, though, because there wasn't that much around.
I guess. But, you know, like, so many comics... Like, that started around the same time as me, we'll always talk about, like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember, like, I would tape the gala and, like, you know, every... That was, like, Christmas for me. Like, I never watched the gala. Like, I didn't really know any... I don't think I'd ever really watched much or any stand-up before I started doing it. So I wasn't one of those guys that
Well, same here. But for me, because I'm older than you, there wasn't a lot around.
There wasn't to do, yeah.
I remember seeing Franklin Ajai on Hey Hey and thinking he was hilarious.
Right.
But I'd been to two work functions at the Last Laugh, I think, and seen comedians. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm better than them. Oh, I'm not as good as that guy. I could do better. Oh, no, I'm not as good as him. He's very good.
Well, the first comedy gig I ever went to was... it was Hughesy's CD launch, and it was at the Prince Pat.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was...
I reckon I was there.
You were on. It was you, Hughesy, Justin Hamilton, and Greg Fleet.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I just remember Hughesy plugged it on the radio and... Again, me and Dad were driving to school, and he was like, yeah, do you want to go tonight? I'm like, yeah. And so we went.
Your dad's cool?
It was awesome. And it was like, because we knew you guys from the radio, but like I didn't really know anything else about stand-up. And so, yeah, seeing Hamilton and seeing Fleety, like, going full.
One of the kings
going
of
full Fleet.
Melbourne comedy.
Yeah.
Now,
it was awesome.
Do you go to these shops much?
I wondered why you pulled up here. I was like, do you think this is my house?
I'm just going to tell you, that is a great bakery.
Is it?
A treat of France,
yeah,
right? They do great baguettes and great French style, obviously.
Yeah, but that looks like the kind of bakery that, you know...
But also
Dave
pies.
O'Neill Zone 4 corporate money.
No,
lifestyle.
No, it's not that expensive.
It looks really expensive. That font makes me think expensive.
You're right, I don't think about the prices. You're absolutely right.
What about this place? Brazilian waxing next to it. What do you think of that, Dave?
They're a chain. I'm not into waxing.
They're a chain.
So they're a franchise.
You prefer to get it done at this
local joint.
Bespoke artisan waxery.
What about, I know you're a fan of kebabs. Have you ever been to Oz Kebabs, which is situated in a car wash over here?
No, I haven't. Look, it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare that I'm maggot enough to go to the car park.
Kebab.
You know the one, the flashing lights, that's just on a vacant lot.
I mean, they're like food trucks, but not as good.
They're the original food
trucks,
aren't they?
The original food
truck, yeah.
Yes.
But they're still tethered to the same...
Yeah.
It's like they
kind of... Lack of refrigeration.
They always just look like they started building a bricks and mortar place and then went, we've run out of money.
And I also wonder, what do they do with the meat overnight?
Yeah.
What do they do with that meat?
Yeah, there's not much in the way of, like, an office or anything out the back, like...
Now, I'm kind of lost now. Where are we?
Okay, so you just...
Oh, you go, yeah, I know. Do you, here, have you got a bicycle? Do you ride on the bike track here?
I don't. No, I keep telling myself I'm going to get a bike, but I'm kind of too scared. I'd be too scared.
Did you ride a bike as a kid?
Yeah, when I was really young. But you
not,
know,
as
like,
a, not as a teenager.
The early teens. Yeah, I'm just too... Well, so I was, like, the weather has been getting good lately in Melbourne, and I was like, oh, yeah. You know what, maybe this is it. Maybe this is when I finally get a bike, start riding everywhere. But I just know I would injure myself. My housemate on Saturday night got really drunk and riding home stacked his bike and knocked his two front teeth out.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like even though there were circumstances to him riding it that I wouldn't partake in, that's kind of set me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of set me back and going, yeah, that's what happens if you ride a bike. Now I'm never going to get one. It's freaked me out too much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Losing teeth is like...
Now, that's full on
that's in
for a young
that's
person.
That's top five fear for me.
Yeah, don't lose your teeth.
The dreams where... Do you ever have any teeth falling out dreams?
No, do you have those dreams?
Not for a while, but I had a spell there where I was having them a bit.
Really?
Just, yeah, waking up with no teeth. And waking up and they just like... They just really softly fall out. Like, it would be like I'd get out of bed and they'd all just go, huh, and just, like, fall out of my mouth.
I have bad gig dreams. The last gig I had was the other night, like, last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling the kids, who weren't interested, but I still told them. I was doing a gig in Wonthaggi, in a big... Wonthaggi, right? Mm-hmm. It's in Gippsland.
Mm-hmm.
In a big sort of bar thing. And before me, this guy went on who was a piano player. It turns out it was Tim Minchin.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that until he went on, and he started doing all these amazing songs. And then, like, the MC said, oh, God, who wants to go on next? And me being arrogant goes, oh, I'll follow that. And then I died in the arse.
I have a lot of dreams.
To be in a dream with Tim Minchin.
Coming up to Comedy Festival, I always have dreams where it's the first night of the show you've done nothing. You just haven't written anything.
Yeah.
And it's always this weird element to it where I'm freaking out about not having written a show. I've got nothing.
Yeah.
But then I get up and I go, okay, you've got all day. You can. It's not going to be great, but you can put something together. And then it cuts to me just watching someone else's show before my show.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there going, and like in my head, I'm aware of it going, what are you fucking doing? Leave right now and go just work out some stuff to say out loud for an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other one is...
do you leave it late to get ready for shows? Like,
no, not at all.
In terms of preparing? No,
I think
don't.
That's why the dream is effective, because it's like the opposite of how I plan
you
out
operate.
My life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other
yeah.
big one is... stage that I can't stand on, so it's like a bouncy castle that's like half deflated and you can't get your footing, and it's sometimes that and it's like the microphone cord is so short that it's like plugged in at your feet and you have to kind of like crouch over like three quarters down to even talk, so you can't move, you can't get proper footing, and you're just up there looking like a fucking buffoon.
Oh, sounds horrific.
Yeah.
Occasionally I've done gigs where the microphone is attached to the DJ box and
yes.
there is that you can't go any further. You're
yes.
like,
but you know that sometimes where you assume the cord is really long and then you go to walk to one side of the stage and you sort of realise, oh, I'm kind of...
I'm tethered.
I'm kind of locked here.
That's really... Oh, God. Look, you're on the Diva with Tommy Daslow.
Mm.
If I want to talk about Sheba, Tommy, this is an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do ads on Dum Dum?
We do.
Are you doing ads now?
Yeah, we're doing ads.
Well, you get like so many downloads. You should be doing ads. Who are you doing for?
For ages we had a chocolate mousse company that sponsored.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Yella.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make great hummus.
Yeah, and we've got some coming up for... I'm not going to mention another company.
Fair enough.
You're meant to be doing
an ad
for this
Sheba, which is a great... Australia's all-female rideshare service for women and children.
Yeah.
So you'd be fine. Because you like look like a child.
I'm in the centre of that Venn diagram.
Yeah, yes.
I have a girly
There's a lot of jokes about
look
you
like
looking like a child, aren't there?
They've died off since my hair started receding at the rate that it is.
Yeah, okay.
I don't really get that as much anymore.
Look, the drivers keep 85% of every fare. Cars of any age, provided they've had a roadworthy check in the last 12 months, can drive.
Nice.
Oh, that's fair enough. And look, basically, the Sheba drivers are part of a supportive community of women, all right? So basically, it's if you've got like a daughter and you're worried about her getting in with whoever in a taxi or an Uber, you get Sheba and it's driven by a woman.
Yes, because a lot of the other ride-sharing apps have come under fire for having some, perhaps, not...
Dubious drivers, Tommy.
Dubious drivers. There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
So download the Sheba app for Apple or Android phones or visit sheba.com.au. Thanks, Tommy. I know he's doing it right now, everyone. so, So I have some questions, some proper debrief questions. Yes. Do you know that guy walking along? Is he one of your flatmates?
No, he's dressed up for the night. He looked like he was going to walk into my house, though.
He did. Dodgy.
Yeah.
We're sitting outside Tommy's house now because the trip was very quick.
Two men sitting in a car with the engine running, seeing someone else in the street and going, this guy looks
weird. Yeah. Don't worry. It's a common theme of the debrief.
Oh, really?
When the lift is too short.
Yeah, great.
So these are questions, proper debrief questions. Mm-hmm. What went well tonight and why? Tommy.
I think that
you weren't actually on, but you were introducing.
I wasn't actually on. I was doing the door.
Yeah.
I think the night went very well because we had a very good MC.
Oh, that was me.
You did really well.
And well, that was the best night I've had at your room because it is full of young hipsters, isn't it? They look very young and hipsterish.
Yeah. It was. Sometimes that gig is like, it's a little weird at the start of it. Like, it's kind of hard in the first bit the MCs.
Oh, God, yeah.
In the first bit of the first bracket, sometimes it just takes 10, 15 minutes to warm up, and whoever's hosting just kind of has to.
Oh, that's a cop it.
Bear with it, but tonight you were. They were right there, weren't they? They were right into it. That roasting of me that you did, a person who no one in there knows, that really set the tone.
There would be some dum-dum fans there.
There are a few people.
I was talking to a guy who listens to this podcast and listens to you. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I met a cop the other day who's a big fan of your guys.
Nice.
Yeah, you're a detective.
Yeah, we've heard of a couple of law enforcement officials that are fans.
Well, they're obviously just casing you guys for crimes, but whatever.
You know what else I think it is too? What with tonight? It was a nice day today.
Weather does affect comedy.
Weather affects it a lot.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, like with our gig, Tuesdays always end up being a day where it's been like a nice Sunday and a nice Monday, and then Tuesday. It's just a rainy shit day.
Yeah,
all the
true.
Day starts off good. It gets us all the time where it's like I get up in the morning and I go, oh, tonight's going to be a really great one. And then it just, around midday, it just shifts and it's like, God damn it. But today was like a rare one where it was just consistently warm
it was
all
beautiful.
Day. And you can just, winter is so, you just notice people come into the gig just in the shits. Like it takes so long to drag people out of that.
Rain.
So today was like one of the first kind of consistently warm days that we've had in Melbourne for a while. So I think that was part of it too.
Yeah, it's interesting. If it rains, I always say people won't go out.
Yeah.
Especially with the first big rain of the season.
I think that might. And then if they do go out, they've like, you know, they've had to schlep through the rain and then cold and they turn up in a shit mood because they probably regret going out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to deal with all that with your fucking dumb little jokes about a sandwich that you had once.
What didn't go well and why, you think, about tonight? Anything?
What didn't go well? I don't know.
It all went pretty well.
I don't know, because I did feel like
The acts went overtime. There was people doing, because, you know, you get a good crowd, people often.
Yeah, there was a bit of sticky feeding.
Sticky feed. They do too long.
But that's
some
fine.
People. Yeah.
I like, every week when I try and do, anytime I try and get people to move up the front, which I did at the start of tonight, it never goes well. Because you go, hey guys, who wants to sit closer? And people don't do it, and then you've just created this weird vibe that it is so hard to come. That was why it was such a relief when you got on it, and then it just went great immediately. Because I was like, have I just rooted this gig from the start by, because I get so passive aggressive about it when people don't want to do it that it just I don't think there was anything.
That moves to the next question, what organisational hazards got in the way? People not sitting up the front.
And that gig too, like, the lights are so bright and it's such a long room that beyond the first three rows, you can't really see anyone.
No.
It's kind of an annoying setup because there's like lots of good seats. There's like that little booth up the back.
Yeah,
that
people gravitate towards that.
People gravitate to like the midpoint of the room, and it's frustrating when sometimes you start the gig and there's a lot of people there, but you get up to
it feels like 12
like,
people
you
down
can't
the front.
See anyone? Yeah, it's like it feels shit up here, but it's good.
It's a good room. How can we do better next time?
Ooh, just accept that those first two seats are just empty, bro.
Kind of feel.
Just let it go, bro.
Get some dummies like Weekend at Bernie's 2 style and
that's
stick them down
bad.
The front.
That's not bad.
So people think there's people sitting there, but they're not laughing a lot.
Yeah, that's great.
Some shop mannequins.
That would be pretty fun. I always feel weird when, like, the first people who turn up at the gig, like, you know, once you've opened doors.
Yeah, and they see no one there.
Yeah, they'll be there at 7:30 and you feel like they walk in, and sometimes people go, oh, yeah, it's packed tonight. It's like, it's 45 minutes until it starts.
That's only older people do that. People my age group. Yeah, we'll get there early.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, actually, I should mention your cartoons. Your cartoons are fantastic. Oh, thank you. So you're gonna did you love cartooning and comics as a kid?
Yeah, I drew a lot growing up, and it's only like in the last kind of 3 years that I've kind of really made a bit more of an effort to like.
Yeah, you put them on the web occasionally.
Yeah, I put them on the web, and we do this like newsletter for our Patreon of Dum-Dum, where I do a lot of drawings for that. And then my last kind of like two comedy festival shows, I've really like tried to have a lot of drawing stuff in there.
Yeah, cool.
Which I think I'll keep doing for next year. And then, yeah, just this year I kind of have finally gotten around to making a little book of them.
You've got a book that you sell, yeah?
Yeah, I'll give you one, actually.
I'd love it. Is it appropriate for children?
It is, actually.
Yeah, no.
It's not too rude.
I don't have to read it.
Yeah, one of them.
Fantastic. Super Bloom by Tommy Dassilow.
Yeah, it's all about... I went to Thailand and Singapore and Vietnam, and it's all little cartoons about me.
Yeah, cool.
Being in Asia.
Yeah, the influences looking at them. There's a bit of Mad Magazine, but not a lot of Mad Magazine in here.
No, it's more like...
sort of Simpson-ish a little bit.
Yeah, a bit of Simpsons. It's like a lot of like the kind of 90s American kind of underground dudes. Like
yes.
Peter Bagg and like all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Daniel Klaus. I love his writing.
There's a note in here saying, thank you for purchasing this copy. I didn't purchase it. I feel like a fraud reading your note that you put in here for people that buy this.
Well, it's a little poster on the back. A little black and white poster.
Cool.
Little dumpling boy.
Yeah, you should do more drawings. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to try and... I got that out and it's sold pretty well, so I'm going to try and do another one pretty quickly.
The Wild Shitters of Vietnam.
Yeah. What a weird toilets I saw in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, I've been to Vietnam.
Left a lot of good men behind, mate.
Like my dad, Kev.
This one, I went to the public toilet in a restaurant. We just had a...
Where in Vietnam were you?
Ho Chi Minh, Hanoi, and Hoi An.
Oh, Hoi An's fantastic.
Hoi An's the best.
It's interesting, Hoi An, isn't it?
Yeah, I loved Hoi An so much.
Yeah, I love Hoi An.
Weird little river,
trendy town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Sort of like Vietnam's Dalsford or somewhere.
Yeah, and it's like you have to fly into Da Nang and then that's like an hour and a half drive to Hoi An. Yeah, it's so good. My parents went there like a month ago and Mum's like, yeah, we hit up the tailors. That was really good getting stuff tailored.
Oh, yeah, you do that.
And I go, oh, what'd you get? Mum's like, oh, I got this dress and this dress. I'm like, what'd Dad get? And she goes, Dad got a pair of shorts. He got a pair of shorts tailored.
What?
What a waste of going to a tailor.
Get a suit or a shirt, mate.
How much... Like, there's shorts are short. There's no, like...
What are you tailored shorts for?
You can find a pair of shorts that just fit you. Like...
Yeah, you don't need tailored shorts.
What an absolute waste of a tailor. I mean, even though it's cheap over there. And he had to go back twice for a fitting for a fucking pair of shorts. What are you doing?
Well, he was an architect, your dad.
He was an architect. It's got to be perfect.
And he had the greatest story ever, which I think we got you to tell on the radio, where he was a... He became an expert in architecture, so he became a witness at court cases, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he would turn up and they would say, well, we've got an architectural expert here to... But then what did he do? He made glasses with...
He got obsessed with that thing on The Simpsons where Homer's in court and he's made the glasses that have the eyes painted on them.
Yeah.
So he made some of them and was just turning up wearing them. Great.
So he could sleep behind them.
Yeah.
When he's a witness in court.
He's a crackpot. He's a true crackpot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they love you. Mum and Dad love you.
Oh, they've come to my shows. They're good, your parents.
Yeah.
Vietnam. Well, my dad served in Vietnam and he went back.
Right.
I went. One of my brothers went. Mm. And I went in 2000. I said, you got to go back, Dad, and have a look. So he went back after we gave it all the all clear. Mm-hmm. Right, you know, the Viet Cong aren't going to hunt you down, Kev, because you fought in their country, right? And he went to his old airbase and he goes, bloody hell, there were tunnels underneath our whole airbase. All these Viet Cong tunnels. I didn't know they were there. Apparently his airbase was riddled with tunnels.
Great.
I had no idea.
Great.
Just sleeping above these tunnels.
Oh, man.
Fit in those tunnels? I couldn't fit in those tunnels. I had a look.
I didn't end up going and doing it. I went to the Peace Museum.
Pretty... Is it Ho Chi Minh's body? Where he's laid out. He looks like Colonel Sanders.
Oh, I didn't see that bit.
Oh, man. I don't know if you can still go.
I saw the full-on Agent Orange wing.
Yeah.
It's all pretty horrific.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, I love a good war atrocities
museum.
The Hiroshima Peace Museum.
I haven't been to that. Is it good?
It's incredible. Yeah. Like, the amount of stuff that they have, like, it's all, you know, it's all photos and it's all kind of like, oh, here's a replica of the bomb. And then it's like, cool, here's an actual piece of fabric from a schoolboy that was eviscerated walking. It's like, who kept this and held onto it until when the museum opened? Who's cataloguing all this stuff?
Why do they drop two bombs? Like, surely one was enough to go...
And why not make the whole plane out of the black box material?
Yeah, like, what's... Is that a comedy trope? Like,
Hiroshima, why did... Why did they drop two bombs into the new comedy trope? Comedy... It's up... Get it up there with 72 virgins.
72 virgins.
Two bombs.
But what... I mean, do you know the time period? I've got to look this up. What is the time period between Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it a day or was it like 4 hours?
I can't remember. Believe it or not, they don't really go into the other bombing in the Hiroshima Museum.
They don't talk about Nagasaki.
They're pretty focused in the one that's in the city that you're
selfish.
In.
The old Sydney-Melbourne rivalry, is it? Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Ours was actually bigger.
Yeah. It was better. Yeah, that's really interesting. I got to look that up.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's very well laid out, and it's very moving, and it's just like the amount of stuff. Like I said, they have like, a school bag that a kid was. It's like,
that's incredible.
Just the fact that they managed to handle that.
Have you been to any of the Nazi ones like Dachau or Auschwitz?
No.
My dad's done them all.
Right.
Oh, he's done Auschwitz. He's done everything.
Is it like a stamp card and you get the like final one for free?
Went to Auschwitz. It was pretty good. Yeah, it was. Dad, I don't think you can say Auschwitz was pretty good. I don't think that's a kind of language you can use.
Why are you saying it Auschwitz?
Oh, sorry, I'm saying it wrong, aren't I? Yeah.
This is like you and the Wu-Tang Clan.
That's true. Some words I just get in my head, I can't pronounce them. Yeah, I want to go to Dachau a second time, but Joyce wasn't keen. Yeah, no, fair enough. She didn't want to go to a death camp. No, fair enough, Dad.
Yeah.
A second time. You've been once.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's such a great museum that if I was ever there with someone, I would go, well, you know, we'd have to go, but, it's why go a second time? Like,
you've been once. You've been once.
You get it. Yeah. It's sort of like... You know those movies that you see where you go, that was great, I never need to watch that again? Like,
definitely.
Requiem for a Dream is a great, horrific movie that, you know, you see and you go, wow, that's really amazingly done. I never want to have to sit through that end bit again.
Oh,
that's
definitely.
One of the worst 5 minutes of my whole life.
Oh.
I watched that movie right before I went to do my first ever gig.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a great movie to watch.
It wasn't deliberate. It was just like someone had lent it to me, and I was
this would be fun.
I rehearsed my set all day, and then I was like, okay, I need to just...
Chill
distract
out.
...distract myself. I'll finish this movie. Fucking hell. Yeah.
You should watch something, you know, Groundhog Day or Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Now, what song should we play?
Oh, man.
You can play any... Because you're a big music head, so we could play any song, any song at all. Like, with your... mate, we played Elvis Costello because I'm a big Elvis Costello fan. He's a big Elvis Costello fan.
Ah, okay.
Let's see where our music crosses over, Tommy.
Okay. Oh, you know what I really like?
You're a lot younger than that guy.
You know what I really like at the moment? And it's not cool, but I just think it's a good song by a band I don't particularly like. The Man by The Killers.
I like The Killers.
Yeah, but
like
that single on their new album is really, really good.
Oh, well, let's play The Man by The Killers because I love The Killers' first album.
Mm-hmm.
I love their first album. And the second album was all right. And they just did the MCG, didn't they?
They did.
The grand final.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
The grand final pre-show.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I am a big Killers fan. I watched the grand final, but I didn't actually watch it.
You just tuned out for The Killers?
Yeah.
And made sure to miss The Killers.
But I am a Killers fan. But The Killers they're considered a bit daggy now, aren't they?
I guess, yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I don't know. Like...
That first album was fantastic.
Yeah. I think this new album, people are kind of like back in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like
I think
they're kind of like they've been away for long enough and they're doing stuff that's a bit new and a bit interesting.
I think one of them's left.
Well, here's the weird thing about that band. Two of them have left.
Well, so
there's two left, but...
So there's the Brendan Flowers, the Mormon singer.
Yep. And then there's the drummer. But
the drummer's like a multi... He's like a bit of a new age. But so the other guitarist and the bass player left.
No, well, this is the thing. They're still in the band... But they're just not going to tour. So they're still going to make albums with them.
Oh, my God. It's like the Beach Boys.
But they just don't want to go on the road. Now, that's pretty weird.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I haven't heard of a band having that kind of arrangement.
No.
Like,
the Beach Boys had that with, you know, the main dude.
Yeah. But that's pretty weird that these two other guys are going to go out there, play the songs live, kind of travel around together, you know, kind of go through all this stuff, and then just come back and hook up with these other two who have just been sitting on their asses with their kids. It's pretty weird.
So that at the MCG, was that the original lineup? Or was that the new lineup with the two?
No, it was the new lineup. So the other two just not. Yeah, they're just not there. So like they now have like these two touring members, who which also weird for them, where they're kind of like traveling around and playing all the songs and like. Oh, so we're not good enough to have any input on the album.
And,
good one.
Yeah, good one. And any money, they're guys that used to be in good bands that just never made it like the Killers made it.
Yeah.
Because you know when you go and see bands, I always look them up. Like, I saw The Cure.
Yeah.
And you look up the dude, and the guy that played keyboards was in another legendary band in the 80s that never made it as big as The Cure.
I'm assuming The Cure now, there's just like, there's not that many original dudes.
No, the bass player and Robert Smith are still, the original
and
members.
And all the rest are like renaming.
Yeah, the guitarist. Actually, right. Well, actually, the drummer's been there forever too. So.
Right.
That's a bad example. But like when I went and saw the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, they have a guy who plays bass, and I looked him up, and he's a great bass player.
Yeah, right.
But they've always been the three
but
of them.
But the Yeah Yeah Yeah, that would have been a thing where their sounds... I mean, the Black Keys are similar, where it's the band
like
is the two
dudes.
Of them, but then their sound started to fill out so much that they brought in... They've now got all these, like, weird... Yeah.
We should do that in those stand-up shows, just have a guy with us behind us telling good jokes and go... Hey, yeah, you're not as good as me, mate, but anyway, good on you.
Well, I love the band Hot Chip, and there's now, like, I've seen them live every time they've come out here, and the first time they came out, I think there were, like, three or four of them, and every album they put out, they just add a member. Like, they're just, they'll suddenly be just, like, someone, and it's like, they always start out on the drums, and then the next tour there'll be a new drummer, and then that person's moved on to keys or whatever. There's, like, eight or nine of them in the band, and they just keep adding people.
Yeah, that's weird.
I love it though. It's like it's just this full kind of.
What's that band? They used to sing like a choir, and they used to do the Big Day Out and stuff.
Oh, American. Polyphonic Spree.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And there were 15 of them.
And then the kid joined. Don't let the kid join.
But you know what the rumor with them was?
Cult?
And there's no way this is true, but I love this as a rumor. The rumor was that the Polyphonic Spree was also Slipknot. Because they've got all the masks on. It's the perfect crime.
No.
There's no way it's true.
They weren't Slipknot.
But it's great to believe.
Yeah, it's awesome. well, let's play The Killers. You know what? We didn't even talk about Carl Chandler's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Because does he talk about it at all on the podcast?
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Because we were both at the wedding.
We were both at the wedding. We left to go do a gig, right?
And I came back and the wedding was still going on. And Chandler goes,
did you do an episode of this after that gig?
No, we should have. We so should have, because I drove home with quite a few comics in my car.
Oh, really? Who'd you have?
Danny McGinlay, his wife, Dave Kellen.
Oh, great.
Dave Kellen. Yeah.
We hired a bus. Like,
yeah,
there were 10 of us in a bus, and it was so much fun. Like... It was one of those things, you know, if you hire a bus to go somewhere, or if you have enough of you and it's like an hour drive, the drive is like always more fun.
Definitely.
You get there and you're like, can we just do a few more laps of the block? Because the vibe in here is incredible. And then you get out and you're all separated. It was...
Was the bus better than the wedding?
It was a lot of fun. Like, we were sitting there and we're all like talking about like... Just kind of making fun of like, and then Chandler's going to be up there doing this. How funny is he? Just going flat out at him. And then because it was like, we got a driver from the bus company. And after like half an hour, she goes, so this groom, is he like your friend? Like she just couldn't get her head around the fact that we're all dressed up nice.
And roasting
just
him.
Just savaging this poor guy on the way to his wedding. And it is, when you put it on paper, it's like, it's pretty ordinary behavior.
Well, the first thing his bride said in the speech was, I know you comedians are going to find this hard to believe, but Carl's actually a nice guy.
Yeah, and that killed.
We all started booing. Bullshit.
It was a fun... That was a fun wedding.
It was a great wedding. Hats off to Carl and his bride.
Yeah.
Diane, it was a great wedding.
You got to have a wedding someday.
Yeah, we talked about getting married.
Really?
But my wife didn't want to have a wedding when she was pregnant, when she was breastfeeding. And now we're like, oh, we're too old. Don't worry about it.
Just have a party. It's even more. Have a party.
Yeah, we'll have it when my son gets 8 and he can drive us.
Great. Straight to work.
Awesome time. I'll have to leave to do a gig, but, you know, it'll be good.
Yeah, great. Great.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Tommy.
Thanks, Dave.
Now, you can find, of course, Tommy Daslow on Twitter. And, of course, he's part of the Dum Dum Club. If you've never heard the podcast, their podcast, it's probably the biggest comedy podcast in Australia. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you're tuning in now, there is going to be a lot of in-jokes and you'll be thinking, what the hell's going on this podcast?
You've been on heaps. Just look for one that Dave's with. The last one was, you know what, our 350th episode that we did live that you were on.
That was a great one.
And you were on fire.
Yeah, and you've made a lot of people big stars, like Durek and Cody and Ronnie. They've all come through the Dum Dum doors.
All because of us.
Yes.
All their success is all because of us.
They owe you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the debrief. Here's the Killers. Take it away, guys. I don't know if this is which lineup this is, but it's going to be one of the lineups. Imagine the two guys sitting in LA just reeking in the money.
Yeah.